Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Sentimental Garbage, the podcast where we talk about the culture we love that society sometimes makes us feel ashamed of. My name is Caroline and I photoshopped our faces together to see what our babies would look like. And she just got back from frosting herself. It's Elizabeth Sankey.
It's such a disgusting phrase, isn't it?
The idea
frost yourself. So I'm going to do a Matthew McConaughey accent like, as much
so
as possible.
It's so important that you do.
Hey, pretty lady. Like,
frost yourself.
Frost yourself. Well, that just sounds like you're covered in jizz. Do you know what I mean?
So, shit.
Yes. I mean, I could talk just a lot about the Dilawa lady as well, like with her pink thing and the pink dress.
I love this movie.
Yeah, I love this movie.
I think that, like, okay, so this is, everyone can read, so everyone knows the title is A Guy in 10 Days, the 2003 hit that started off the juggernaut of Matthew McConaughey's rom-com career, of which I think we touched on this in the Barbie episode, but I speak a lot about the kind of the hunk to hero trajectory of like how the female audiences sort of nurture male stars in rom-coms, and then they reach 42, they get a few lines in their face, and then they get to be in like serious films, and then they bolt out the barn door and they never come back.
Yeah, they just desert us, leave us.
This was where he was better.
I mean, okay, I want to get this out of the way. Yeah. I think that Matthew McConaughey, I'm someone who, any rom-com I watch, no matter who it is, I will start watching a rom-com that I've never seen before, and I'll think, they're not going to get me with this guy. I'm not going to end up this film fancying, at the end of this film fancying this guy. And then every single time it works, and I'm like Googling their name and the word wife, even though I've been married for like a million years. But Matthew McConaughey is the one person that just does nothing for me.
Oh no, not me either. Like, I don't want to be with him or bang him or anything, but it's more just like,
I think he's really stupid.
It's just the watchability, I think. Yeah, no, I think he's genuinely
like
dumb.
Really dumb. Like, really. I listened to him on this podcast, and a different podcast, and I had to stop listening because he was just talking about this book he'd written for children.
Green Lights? Oh, no, that's the memoir he wrote about when there's a green light you need to go. But is there a children's book?
What is that? When there's a green light you need to go? Okay. But yeah, so he wrote a book for children, and it was all about how, like, we had a story where Billy is a liar. So Billy is a little kid and he lies. And you can't say to him that he's a liar. You have to say, you lie. Because if you call a kid a liar... And it was just like 20 minutes of him explaining why you shouldn't like label children. And that's like a book that he has written. Anyway, I'm sure he's a really nice guy, but...
Yeah.
He just seems so stupid. And he also just
seems... To be so reassured to hear you say that.
Yeah, you're so nice. You're just really dumb.
No, yeah, I don't fancy him either. But I do think that he is very charismatic in this film. And he just... I think it takes a certain kind of man to carry a rom-com like this. Which is that... Basically, that thing of like a stupid premise that is sold in by really magnetic performances.
I think she is absolutely incredible in this. I think Kate Hudson, this is one of the finest like comedic performances in cinema history. Like, it's unbelievable how funny she is and how winning and charming. She was 23.
What?
Like, there are so many amazing moments, but I feel like they really struggled to find the male lead for this.
Right.
And I can kind of see why, because it's a really difficult part to play, I think. But I don't know. I think he was really miscast. I think it should have been somebody who was like much more uptight and like straight-laced and workaholic and didn't, you know, ever want anything to do. Basically the flip of like what the female character normally is, like work obsessed, doesn't want any kind of to think about love, and then has this woman like being absolutely insane and that sort of like shakes him loose. like Matthew McConaughey's main character trait in this is that he likes sport. There's so much sport in this
film. There's so much sport in this film. And it made me think a lot of... I think that this came out in 2003. So it's interesting because a lot of the rom-coms we cover on this show, I discovered as a teenager when they were already old, you know, like Runaway Bride or something. But this, I remember it so much as a contemporaneous cinema experience of like being 13, which is that perfect age to watch a movie like this and getting these very like almost Duplo block version of what adult careers look like. Of like, When I grow up, I'm going to go work for a women's magazine and I'm going to be their how-to girl, which is a position that definitely exists. Or I'm going to work in advertising and say Frost Your Shelf. And I actually did work in women's media and advertising. So my dreams came true. Mm. But experiencing it as like a proper like popcorn cinema experience and loving it instantly and loving that whole era of rom-coms that was like 2002, 2005.
Yeah, it was a really strong period.
Yeah, 13 going on 30. Yeah. Like I feel like it all sort of... This is the last gasp of the classic
genre. Yeah, it was like, well, it starts with When Harry Met Sally and then kind of peaks around this period because you're starting into like getting crazy premise, and then there was Failure to Launch as well with another Matthew McConaughey.
Another Matthew McConaughey vehicle, yes.
Crazy film. But yeah, I agree. I think this was, and it's such an archetypal that time period rom-com. Like she works at a women's magazine, he works in advertising, like, she's called Andy Anderson.
He's called Ben Barry.
Ben Barry. I mean, it was based on like a stick figure book, you know? This?
Yes, yeah. like an advice book,
like
right?
Like a really simple little comic, basically. And it's so, yeah, it's definitely the last sort of time where there was a premise and it worked-ish. I think after this, you just kind of are getting into really crazy stuff that just like, like the wheels are coming off.
Yeah.
Because they've just run out of ideas. But yeah,
I feel like maybe the last of that, and maybe it was a couple of years later, would have been 27 Dresses.
I love 27 Dresses.
I like it as well, but it's when very premise-y premises start to feel a little like funny, like not ha-ha funny, but funny peculiar kind of thing. And at the same time, which is funny because it's like Katherine Heigl is the star of both of them, but I feel like when Knocked Up comes in like 2005, I think, it sort of restarts the game. It's like, you know, the pen in the back of the Tamagotchi of like, we're back to low premise When Harry Met Sally, just people talking and connecting, except now they have this kind of male stonery spin on them, which is what Judd Apatow sort of makes his fortune out of.
Yeah, I think like it's so funny with romantic comedies because when they feature men as the protagonist and it's coming from the male perspective,
it's art
and it's like oh my gosh, like Notting Hill. I don't like rom-coms, but Notting Hill is so good, or 500 Days of Summer is so good.
What do all these things have in common?
Exactly. And it's like
or High Fidelity.
Why do you think, like, it's the same for us, but for us it's sort of this, it's derided and it gets terrible reviews and all of that stuff, whereas for men it's like, no, it's classic. But this was definitely a really high point, and I also feel like it's an elevated, like, teen rom-com.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
100%.
I have a theory in my head that I've had for a while that Kate Hudson's character in this, Andy, is Jessica Wakefield if Elizabeth died in their, like, 20s, early 20s.
You mean the Sweet Valley High
Sweet
twins?
Valley
it
High
took
twins.
Me a minute.
Come on.
Come on, keep up.
Because so Elizabeth dies, right?
Okay.
And it's reanimated.
I did not exceed this comic. This is not in my notes. I love this.
And Jess, it like breaks her. Okay.
Okay.
Like her son.
Elizabeth died. And Jess was the evil twin, in a sense, wasn't she?
There's also the evil twin, Margot. Was Margot actually the evil twin? Was she actually a twin? Anyway.
But I remember Jessica being the bad girl.
Yeah, Jessica is such a bad girl.
Right.
And then Elizabeth is like, writes for the school paper. I think has a dubious relationship with her teacher, but whatever. Has like the perfect boyfriend. Jess is like the cheerleader who's always... there's one book where she dyes her hair black and she's like, I'm French now.
Yeah.
And so I feel like Elizabeth dies and Jessica sort of wants to continue her legacy. So she's like, I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to get a job at a newspaper. That's what Liz would have done. I'm going to be a better friend. And I'm going to write about Tajikistan. I don't know how to say it.
And how to bring peace to Tajikistan.
Tajikistan. Yeah, that's what I kind of think. Like, it, and so that it sort of fits with that, that this is a teen film about a bet. You know, I was a bet.
Oh my God. That's the thing. It's like, it's, and you know, if you're thinking about this as like the beginning of the end of this kind of very, very premise-y rom-com, it's so sort of perfect that it's like the two like big device-y things of like that was so frequently used in teen rom-coms as well. Either it's for an article or it's for a bet. And this is for both an article and a bet.
And it's also, I mean, have you ever, I've done a bit of writing, but you've done a lot more writing than me. Have you ever like declared your love for someone in an article?
It's the like, when I started writing this article, It was to discover what it took for a man to blah. What I ended up discovering was myself.
Yeah.
And someone pretty amazing too. It's like, yeah. I watched that scene so many times.
Oh my God.
So many movies. Even as recently as like Amy Schumer's Trainwreck. Like they were using that device. I loved it.
Yeah, they do, don't they? She like, oh God, oh God. And they always want to write about really serious stuff. Like at the end, I think Andy says to her boss, what about like religion, economics? I'm like, you want to write about religion? That seems really intense and quite scary. Like, I don't know, the things that they want to write about are always really like, I'm a serious journalist.
I have a master's from Columbia.
Yeah.
I want to bring peace to Turkmenistan.
Yeah. I'm like, no, don't. Just write about shoes. Like,
you're really
better.
Good at it.
Yeah.
Okay, first I feel like we skipped over something important,
which is why
I'm the one who's getting wrapped up in the Wakefields. Why this movie?
Why do I like
it? Well, why have you picked it of all the things we could have picked?
As I said, like romantic comedies are a very big genre for me. I'm hard pushed to find one that I don't love. I never think they're going to get me, and they always get me. But this one in particular, I just think what Kate Hudson is doing in this film is so incredible. It is such an amazing performance. And I think she had Almost Famous, then she had this, and then she sort of ended up being pushed to the side and doing these romantic comedies where she always plays this like ice maiden or this like really horrible friend who like steals your boyfriend.
I'm a big fan of Raising Helen myself. For me, the triumvirate of her filmography is Almost Famous, this, and Raising Helen. And I actually don't think she's done anything else good.
Have you seen Bride Wars?
I have not seen Bride Wars. Okay. It's been recommended a few times.
Because in that, she plays this like ice maiden who's like desperate to get married. Mm. Before her best friend, and says things like, you don't fit Vera Wang dresses to your body, you fit your body to Vera Wang dresses.
Right.
And she's like, and there's just this, I feel like Hollywood like misunderstood, or maybe it's the parts that she was taking, like what her magic is. And I think it's this, she is very composed, you know, she works at Composure and she's also very composed, but she's also, there's like a vulnerability there and and she's like the best friend that you have who will probably snog the boy that you fancy, and she knows you fancy him, but you don't mind because you were never actually going to get with him because he was never going to notice you. And she's so great and she's so beautiful, and she's just, I don't know, there's something about this character that I just think is like pure gold.
The thing that it reminded me of the most when I was watching her, I was like, this is like this one in a million magnetism. It's like, it makes you feel completely fine about Nepo babies watching Kate Hudson.
Yes.
I'm like, fine with it. But the thing it put me in mind of the most was Rachel Green. Like,
yes,
it's a very, yes, Jennifer Aniston's Rachel Green. Yeah. And like, when you watch Friends again, like, you are, she's always the main character of Friends for me. And I think most women probably feel that way, of like, while the, even though like, technically speaking, Rachel is supposed to be like, if they're all playing out these archetypes, she's the rich girl who was used to living off her father and her parents, was supposed to get married, and then she has to rough it as a waitress. But it always feels much more 360 as a character, and just a really fleshed out, lived in girl, as opposed to Phoebe is kooky, Monica's uptight, and then Rachel's a girl, you know?
Yeah,
the fullness and the funniness, and like how you can see Jennifer Aniston in that role, like stretch a line or really play with it or really make B material A material. Kate Hudson is doing the exact same thing in this, I think.
Yeah, completely. And just there's so many moments where she's either making me, like when she's like, peekaboo, like, yeah, or like, just quote a warrior king.
I know, and it's so hard to play an annoying person and not be annoying in that performance.
But you also do believe that she's someone who, like, loves sports and is finding so much fun in this. And I just feel like Matthew McConaughey's character just drops the ball, literally, where he's just like, oh, are you all right? You know, like there's a bit she does, because also she does it in Almost Famous as well, where she kind of can like cry in this way that you're like, oh my God. But she, there's a point in the bathroom, and this goes back
to my, love this scene. Yeah.
It goes back to my Elizabeth Jessica Wakefield theory, where she kind of hints at this thing that's happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, what is going on? Why?
You never hear about tragic backstory, but it is hinted towards.
And his response is, give us a smile. Like, he just tells her to smile, and then he has sex with her. And it's like, I think it's the writing, but I also think it was a difficult film for them to like find the right character for. It should be someone like Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn. Yeah, I mean, completely the wrong
right
age, obviously.
Oh right, because he was in Goldie Hawn in Overboard. Yes. No, not Overboard.
In House Sitter.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, someone who's like kind of infuriated by her, but also is like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on with you? Like, we need to talk about this.
Okay, I'm gonna soft pedal. Ben Affleck of that era, I think, would have done a nice job.
Yeah, that would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've seen what he can do in Shakespeare in Love, but which is my favorite performance in Shakespeare in Love. I love it so much.
That's like the only performance of his where I'm like, you're really hot.
I know, because like that's the thing. It's the same thing with Ryan Gosling as Ken. It's like, that's the only time I've ever found Ryan Gosling attractive, because silly and in a world where men would rather die than be not taken seriously, when someone's just going like both can and silliness, it's so attractive
to
me.
It's so attractive, yeah. And I just love him in that. Like, and he just doesn't fit into that film in Shakespeare in Love. It's like, what are you protect? Like, this is, we all know it's because you were dating Gwyneth Paltrow when you're in this, and you were just hanging around. And you were like, I will be an actor.
It's the best.
It's the best. That's a really good shout, because I've been racking my brains trying to think. Because you need somebody that is like,
who can do the working class home scenes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing as well. That does.
But who can also be a believable Madison Avenue ad exec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the thing of like, I feel like Matthew McConaughey is like a real Southern gentleman, but he's such an American character. Like, in England or the UK, if a guy's really into sports, they also probably vote Tory and talk with like plums in their mouth. Like, they're not somebody that you're going to be like, they're cool and sophisticated and I think that's the thing, is it? And he's such like that American high school teen jock, you know, quarterback, all of that. And it looks great on the beach with his shirt off, like surfing, you know, it has like quite a basic kind of knowledge of stuff, but can win because he looks gorgeous. And and I just don't feel like there's any sort of British character or UK character or UK actor that kind of does the
same
thing.
But you can slot into that somebody who's so jockey and so extra.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's
that you wouldn't also hate.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a level of it that I don't get because of like it's a cultural thing. Because I just think about, I just always, when I'm watching rom-coms, put myself in the role of the female lead. And I'm like,
that's
he would
your job.
Not. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. And I do it really well. But he would not go. He would meet someone like me, like a dyed-in-the-wool indie girl who's like spent time in psychiatric wards, and he would just like not know what the fuck to do with me. He'd be like, wow, so you were in a psychiatric ward, let's cry and give us a smile. Like, and I think like that's why I'm just like, I don't.
Okay, we're getting off the film, but like,
sorry.
No, but I'm curious, typical romantic hero of a rom-com would you say would understand your psychiatric ward?
Mr. Darcy.
Of course. Darcy. Obviously. Yeah, that's a cheat because it's British. American,
okay.
Perfect teeth, full throttle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can't say Tom Hanks because he's, I feel like, British.
Also, I don't...
culturally British in a way he doesn't even realise.
He likes typewriters. He's definitely culturally British. Yeah, that is really... Oh, Heath Ledger.
Oh, good one. Good one! Australian.
Oh, yeah, Australian.
Maybe you just hate American men. That's okay. So, okay, my defense, I hear you, I see you, I validate. My defense of Matthew McConaughey is that I think he is very good at generating heat and charisma with his leading ladies. I think, I really believe that him and Kate Hudson are attracted to one another in that movie.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think it's going to last longer than like a few months. I think that she's got... She's too complex for him. She's too much going on with her. She needs someone who, like, he doesn't challenge her enough. I love that. I'm like, she's my best friend in the whole world. And I'm
She
just,
really is your best friend I'm in the really whole world. You love Andy Anderson.
I do love Andy Anderson. Also, the reason I want to talk about this film was because it was such a formative film for me. Because it's a cool girl that I was like, okay, I could never look like Andy Anderson, but I could definitely do some of this stuff. As opposed to, say, like Mary and Something Is About Mary. Something About Mary, where she's... That's just a very male... That's just a man, basically. They've just written a male character and then cast Cameron Diaz in the role. Whereas Andy's got like this femininity and this softness that I was like, that's fine. And I did all of the... stuff, the good stuff, we've all done the things
exactly.
And then it works and you realize, especially like in your 20s, it really works and you realize, oh, this is actually really appealing to have a girl that like doesn't mind if you don't call her or like it's great when you just eat a burger on the day and all of that stuff. Like, I did all of that and this film was really
It was really interesting watching it back after the first time in years and post the cool girl conversation that obviously first came up in that monologue in Gone Girl. And then I think the new generation refer to it as the pick me girl, which is the thing of...
I don't know that.
You don't know this?
I thought it was the I'm not like other girls girl.
All kind of part of the same umbrella. I think the pick me girl is just sort of... somebody who intentionally sells out their own gender in order and mirrors the opposite gender in order to sort of fit in and be picked.
But isn't that just cool girl?
It's all sort of, it's of a piece. Okay. And it's sort of everywhere. And this film is kind of fascinating to me in that it's like, it's a film that's aimed and made for not cool girls, right? For like girls who like rom-coms and like being at the sleepover and they watch it and they want to work at Composure magazine. They want to be the how-to girl.
Yeah.
But then the hero, Andy Anderson, is like, she's a cool girl who is like making fun of the viewer, really. Of like, but it's kind of like making fun of like a kind of a girly girl. And like, even when she's being annoying Andy, she has like a kind of a gender performance and like the 50s dresses and, you know, the music she likes and all that stuff. And then the wink of it is supposed to be like, but don't worry, she doesn't actually like women or girl stuff. What she actually likes is burgers, wearing a vest.
Being splashed with rainy. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Water.
Going to the Knicks. Yeah. Like sliding into the back of a kitchen of a curry restaurant and
and being best mates with the
and
guys.
And just having a rap that appears from nowhere like, and being like, "What's the score, guys?" And it is this kind of funny, like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of like, oh, do you know the rom-coms we watch were actually really toxic? Because I find that like so anti-intellectual and really boring. But like, it's like, oh, wow, this is subtly like very manipulative of like, it's made by men, written by men. And like here's who not to be women who are already like this because you're watching this movie.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I have so many thoughts on that. You've made so many good points. But I think, the internalized misogyny in this is so rife. But I also think women, we have so, like, women hate women.
They
like,
hate, people hate women.
Yeah, everyone
women
hates
hate women,
women
and men hate women.
Women suck. Like, and it's not really that we hate women. It's that we hate the, like, architecture around women and all of that stuff. And we hate when we buy into it and we hate when we don't buy into it.
Yeah.
And we just, yeah. And so I think that that's what's kind of why women love it so much and also why it is, like, quite, it rubs in that weird, uncomfortable way, because we all know we shouldn't do that stuff. Like, we all know that we shouldn't behave like that. But there is a part of us that really wants to. We really want to be like, look at these photoshopped pictures of us.
And we've all done it.
Yeah.
And now the technology exists, so you can do it much easier than Andy Anderson did hers.
Exactly. Like the star sign. Our star signs are compatible. But anyway, and I think, yeah, there's, so it's kind of really amazing to watch a woman do that and have the guy still like her. But in a way, it's like, wow, that. But then I also,
because he has to, because of a bet.
Yeah, but he does still fall in love with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I also feel like Matthew McConaughey's character is the kind of guy who would actually date a woman like that. That was that was a bit nuts and was doing all of that stuff, because, like, he, I think, again, this is just like me being mean about him, but the people that tend to have those, like, really dramatic relationships where they're always breaking up and there's always drama and she's, like, quote unquote crazy, it's always the quite boring people, like the quite dull, middle of the road, quite basic people.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he'd probably be like, yeah, she's got, you know, so much going on. Like, it's really insane. Like, it's, I've just, you know, I've got to be there for her. And he would kind of get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
So I do feel like, that's also why I'm like, they're not going to last, because he's going to realize, like, wait, I actually preferred it when you were sort of storming out and naming my penis and like, you know, telling waitresses
buying me
I'm
dogs.
Fat. Yeah, yeah. Buying me dogs, making me wear Burberry. But yeah, so yeah, I also, so that's, and then the third thing I was going to say was that it is like, the Farrelly brothers with There's Something About Mary, that was very much, I felt like them saying, this is what we want women to be like. And it was horrible. There's a speech that Cameron Diaz gives in that movie where she's like, I want a guy who eats hot dogs, real hot dogs. I want a guy who drinks real beer. I want a guy who knows about this, about sports, who can, you know, whose handicap is this on golf. And all of these men are completely obsessed with her in the film.
Right.
But whereas this feels more like it was written by, like, teenage boys. You know that thing when you're a teenager and you hear guys talking about other girls and they're like, yeah, she's got, like, really good bum, but I had these teenage boys the other day, I walked past them and one of them was like, I'd like to wrap my scarf around her neck. I was like, what are you talking about? But, you know, they just, when they don't know anything, this is like a guy talking about, or, like, even in 40-Year-Old Virgin, when he's talking about touching a woman's breast.
It's like a bag of sand.
Like a bag of sand. Like, this is, there's something about this that is so, like, really basic. Like, what would a guy actually not want in a woman? I don't think it's this stuff. It's, like, you know, serious mental health issues.
Well, yeah, what you said a minute ago is so weird and so true in that, like, I remember in my early dating days.
Just in water.
Sound effects. In my early days of dating, very much doing the Andy character. As I think, you know, it's a phase we must all go through of, like, pretending to like sports. Or, like, I remember a big thing for me, because I was also a huge fan of the movie True Romance.
Oh, my God.
Of, like, pretending to like kung fu movies.
Oh, yeah.
Just to be, like, Patricia Arquette. And, like, yeah, you know, various guises. And, like, men obviously go through these guises as well. And we all sort of try on personalities before we find ourselves. But sounds like the article at the end of one of these movies.
Yeah.
but, you know, having other female peers do the same thing and do different versions of the Andy character. And what I've actually found and learned through all these years of watching people and myself go in and out of relationships is that, like, actually, if your goal is, like, the heteronormative goal of, like, getting married and settling down or whatever, the women who get it are the women who act like that.
Yeah.
Are the women who are incredibly jealous and possessive.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of rules on day one, and they're hounding them the whole time. And we've all been in, like, a bar with a male mate, and he's like, you know, you're about, everyone's about to get like the third pint and he's like on his phone and he's like, I don't know, I better go back. And I'm like, what? Why are you leaving again? He's like, well, you know, her mum's coming tomorrow, so we have to get the house ready. And like looking at everyone being like, guys, that's normal. And we're like, no, it isn't. We're 26. And like everyone's being like, why is he? What's going on? And then like the more I've seen it over the years, like, oh, like there are a lot of men, and this is like a massive generality, obviously, but like who... When they leave school and uni and college and whatever, they're like real life really hits them like a ton of bricks in that, and they don't generally have these tight networks of like female friend groups that sort of remember their birthdays and hold them up and sort of like check in on them on a Saturday morning and stuff. And it can be like a really weird, lonely, alienating, isolating experience where the sort of like female society is very structured. Male society, I think, is very freelance and loose. And so then when like they're 26, 27, they meet some sort of like type A queen bee girl who's all into like, and here's, and this weekend we're going to B&Q with my dad.
Yeah.
And we're picking out a fireplace for my mum. They're like, okay.
That sounds fun. Yeah, totally. I do think that, because this is the other thing I really like about romantic comedies is that it's just like a little boy and a little girl. It's like the most like purest, innocent thing. Like there's never, you know, if there's sex, it's alluded to, and it's this very sort of sweet, like virginal relationship.
It's, you're right. It is like a little boy and a little girl. It's like a fake wedding that with between two children who live on your road.
Yeah. Did that happen? That sounds adorable.
I had many fake weddings in my time as a 6-year-old.
And so, yeah, there's, and for me, what I find appealing about them is there's that moment, normally like before the declaration of love, where the guy looks at her and it is like, I don't know if you ever had this as a kid, but it's when like the boy that you've dreamed of, like there's a boy that I dreamed of when I was in primary school and loved so much. And there was this one day where I was allowed to go to school with my hair down. I was never allowed to have my hair down. And
'cause of knits.
Yeah. And he looked at me. He like put down his football and like looked at me, like properly like saw me. Oh. And it was this thing of like, wow, that boy likes me so much. He's not thinking about football right now. And I think that that's like, that is ultimately what like romantic comedies are about, aren't they? It's like the little boy being like, oh, this little girl's going to, you know, tell me like, I like her. I don't know. There's
there's a purity to it because it's in the world of the rom-com, the rest of the world doesn't exist and this is your big concern.
Exactly.
In the same way when you're on like the playground in lunchtime in primary school, the concerns of that 25 minutes are the only concerns in the world.
Yeah. And I guess for those boys, men who go for girls like this, it's like, do you know what? It's good to know where your drama is. And to know that your drama is coming from someone who loves you. You know
what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah.
If you're going to have, like, life is hard. And if there's going to, you are going to have difficult things happen. So maybe it's better to have them all happen via one person.
Yeah, well, I had this conversation before with a friend of mine who is an addict and is, you know, 12-step and all that kind of stuff and is a big person in the community. And he was talking to me about, like, how when he was a drug addict, like his only problem was getting more drugs, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're in a relationship like this, your only problem is my girlfriend mad at me?
Exactly. And you can deal with that.
Yeah. It like narrows the world in a very comforting way, I think.
You don't have to worry about, I mean, it's one of the things I really like about having a kid is that I like can't, I don't have time to read the news anymore or to find out what's happening in the world because my son needs a banana. And it's like, it's so good to just be like, he is happy. Yes.
Yes.
I did it.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that like, so depressing.
It's depressing. It's very depressing. Correct.
Yeah. But that like narrowing of your world is actually sometimes a real gift. And so that's, I think, why sometimes people go for, well, a lot of people go for the drama.
Yeah.
But personally, I cannot stand it. It's also always people who haven't maybe had drama in their own lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like somebody who's had like a very sort of stable upbringing, nothing really bad ever happened to them. So they've never really experienced like in sort of intense trauma or anything.
Yeah. And so this having a girlfriend who will yell at them for knowing a woman's name is
Yeah. That's like, whoa, yeah, stuff's happening.
I am in the plot.
I finally understand what all those songs are about. Like, it's great. But yeah, it's... I'm so glad that I don't have that.
I know. Just an easy life. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Easy life with your friend who loves you. So let's go through... I feel like we've like skipped over much of the basic premise. But Matthew McConaughey is an advertising executive and his main thing is sports and beers.
Yeah.
And
beers, plural.
And his main rivals are a female creative duo.
The Judies.
One of whom is Shalom Harlow.
Yeah, gorge.
Gorge.
Yeah.
I've like only in the last few years realized that models are people, and like since then I've been very interested in Shalom Harlow, so seeing her in this was great. This is the other thing I want to talk about is that almost immediately with this movie and talking about it as like part of the last gasp of the great rom-coms, it's very in conversation with the rom-coms that have come before it.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously we have that Sleepless in Seattle reference when they go to see it together, but there's also the first minute that we meet Ben. He's in his office changing his shirt, which is a Working Girl reference.
Yes, you're right. Oh, my gosh.
Harrison Ford and Working Girl and all the girls watching him do that. I love that. It's
Harrison
very rewarding.
Ford would have been a good character.
Oh, yeah. And age appropriate. Yeah. He's so good.
Oh, my God. I love him.
I know.
In that film as well, Working Girl. Anyway, so yeah. Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he wants to break out of sports and beers and into diamonds.
Diamonds.
And what I really like about it, and so I did work in advertising, and I mean, obviously, like, you know, it's that thing of, I love it when movies take an industry and obsess over it and just sort of like inflate it.
Yeah, and get it quite wrong.
But like the essential logic of it being quite solid. I find it very satisfying. And this whole thing of like, him like crashing this advertising meeting between the Judies and his boss and being like, diamonds are for everyone.
And also saying like, I respect women. That's why I crashed this meeting that you're having with these two female execs. Like,
then that is never addressed. Never that he respects women so much, and yet he's trying to steal business from these two women who seem very good at their jobs.
Yeah, super good at their jobs.
Yeah, and them just being like, you can't say diamonds are for everyone because that sort of implies they're commonplace and therefore not worth anything. It's like, excellent point of the Judies.
Yeah. Well done, you. Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed that it like backfires for the Judies.
Yeah, and the thing is, I respect women. I love women. I can make women fall in love with me. In fact, I can make any women fall in love with me. In fact, by the gala that we're having with
conveniently our... In 10 days.
I will find any woman, and then the Judies are like, how about her, the woman we have prior knowledge of? And obviously by now we know that Andy wants to break out of being the how-to girl, and she has taken inspiration from her friend Catherine Hahn. And once again, a great illustration of how women's magazines actually work, which is just like 10 women sitting in a room being like, who has a personal issue and can we mine it for content?
Yeah, yeah.
Like literally that is it. And
sorry to interrupt you.
No, please.
Kate Hudson shadowed Anna Wintour for this. Did you know?
Why?
And I feel like that authenticity really comes through in her performance. But I just love that that was something that like... This was a period of time when romantic comedies, people did research. They did like, you know, this is when Bridget Jones, Renee Zellweger,
worked
in a British publishing company. Matthew McConaughey's preparation for it was he bought the motorcycle because he didn't want to look like he didn't know how to ride a motorcycle.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Screen. Anyway,
wow,
carry on.
I'm sure he needed that excuse. But that's, it's, because the thing is, a part of the thing that makes this part of that last gasp that we keep talking about is that you can see the money on screen.
Yeah.
So like having time to rehearse, for example,
yeah,
and like
yeah.
having time to research is all about money. And like all these scenes at like Knicks games that I think obviously lots of it is smoke and mirrors and movie magic, but it's also like you're seeing actual players.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, and all the diamond stuff, it's like, oh, this is like, and the music placement, this is an expensive
yeah,
movie.
Music is crazy. It was 50 million, I think.
Oh, right, okay. Which for the time,
maybe it was more than that, but it was 50 million and it made 177 million.
Money well spent.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This is the thing as well. Romantic comedies make money. Put them in the cinema. Yeah. Women buy tickets. Women buy more cinema tickets than men. And they make money.
And yet, it feels like every 6 years, we remember that women yes. go to the cinema.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it's so weird how it's like just on a fucking... It's like a fucking sushi conveyor belt. It's like, but with epiphanies.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, oh, here comes the salmon ejiri, and here comes the fact that women go to the movies. Yes, yeah. they came for Barbie, and they came for Bridesmaids, and yeah. they came for Thelma and Louise, and they came for like any fucking movie. Yeah. It's so annoying.
The movie will go. We love going to the cinema. There's nothing like watching, like, especially a rom-com or Barbie movie, like with yeah. other women. Like, women love meeting together. We love sitting in rooms together. It's like what we've always yeah. done. We just love it.
Because we don't have sports.
Yeah,
I mean, also, we do technically, according to Danny Anderson, but yeah.
No, we do, but we don't. Like, it's, yeah. that's not for us.
Yeah,
whereas make something for us and we go.
This is the thing where, like, my husband was trying to understand the whole Taylor Swift thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, obviously, he has 2 ears and a heart, so he understands that, like, it's nice music, but like the jump that Taylor Swift has made in the last couple of years from very famous woman to the most famous and adored woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to explain that it's like, you know, obviously men go to football games because they're interested in football, but we all know that's an excuse.
Yeah.
And what it actually is a concentrated space for men to be men.
Yeah.
And to act like, and to be sort of bullish and loud and sort of for testosterone to just be the reigning emotion and the reigning hormone of a huge space and how kind of thrilling that feels. And I'm not taking that away from them. I think it must feel
I'm
like
so
being
jealous
on drugs.
When
like,
I see that, when I see like all these men streaming out of, or I mean, women yeah. go to football as well, of course, but like when I see the yeah. majority of these men streaming out and like they've all just had this like shared cathartic experience. I'm so yeah. jealous.
And it is about being male. They're yeah. watching men, yeah. whatever. But that thing has transmuted onto something like the Eras Tour or the Barbie yeah. movie of being like the... If you take testosterone and build it up, it looks like football. If you take estrogen and build it up, it looks like Barbie or it's Taylor. It looks like sincerity and brightness and hope and like... the belief that you can change things and make things good and feelings and you know, sadness and mm. that's what we've and like it was the first time he kind of got it
yeah yeah
and that's why we need the cinema women need the cinema
totally. I mean there's so many deeper things going on as well, like the I've just made a film about witches and with that people have always been scared of women talking, like mm-hmm. women meeting together. If women met together, you were witches. Like mm. it's always been, they've always tried to separate us and to yeah stop us like finding this common ground, and they're so scared of things that are generally the domain of women, so pregnancy, birth, and I think as well like falling in love. I think there's something mm. about like, because it does feel like a much more female space, especially because it's one of the only sort of worlds where we actually have equal power, because mm. hopefully, mm. because there's two of you in that relationship and sometimes we hold the power. And so I think that there's just a real fear around it and like a discomfort around it, which I think is why these films don't get made as much and they get sort of pushed and like, you can have them. They're just on Netflix, darling.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, well,
and
no,
they look
actually,
like shit.
Yeah, and they look like shit. And they're the... And it used to be that the actors would like start their career in romantic comedies mm. and it would... it would be this way to like make the audience completely fall in love with you, and then we would follow you into whatever, as you said before. Like
Julia Roberts starts off with Mystic Pizza, and then she gets to do things like The Pelican Brief.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, Mystic Pizza is still better, and directed by the same guy that directed.
I know. I was about to talk about that. Yeah.
But yeah, so I just think that there's like something really witchy and magical about those things, those experiences where women have more power, or at least equal power, that is terrifying to men and potentially probably to women as well. And that's why they don't want us to go into cinema together.
They don't want us to go in there.
they don't value it. I don't understand. Like, it's like Marvel stuff. It's kind of, you know, everyone's like, Marvel saved. It's like, no, I mean, yeah, but if you did the same thing, which is romantic comedies, if you did that for women, like they.
So anyway, Ben and Andy meet, and it's, again, I know you're anti-McConaughey, but I do think, yes, when you're just focusing on him, it's not attractive, but he is able to bounce with women in a way that makes them shine.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that when I think it's, do you know what I think it's, that I'm like, he would never go for me, so I can't.
Matthew McConaughey doesn't fancy me.
There is no world in which he would shine his light on me. But I know that if he did, I'd be like, because he's so gorgeous and charming. And yeah, you're right. He like that meet cute where they're just like dinner, hungry,
yes,
unattached, and it's such a nice bounce back and forth. And yeah, they are obviously like really sexually attracted to each other immediately as well. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that I'm coming around to him. You're changing my mind on him.
I'm not saying I love him. I'm just saying I appreciate him here.
Yeah, I appreciate him here.
Yeah, and so the whole thing is like, oh, it's a bet, it's an article or whatever. And this thing of they have this lovely night together, then they sort of, their whole kind of foreplay situation. What did you make of all that?
Well, all the, like, let's not have...
Let's do it, let's not do it.
But... Well, apparently...
Right.
There was a version of the script where they did have sex, which is kind of what should happen, because it should be that you have... Because there was some... I read somebody saying that... I think this was a review from The Time, which was like, there was a point where in the script it said they had sex, but then they... The director said that he didn't want his 12-year-old daughter to watch it if they had sex on the first date. And it's a bit like, well, what's going on? Like, just have the conversation with your 12-year-old daughter.
Interesting.
But because then somebody said, well, a man will put up with anything before sex, which I think is a very, like, stereotypical idea of, like, men and stuff. But, yeah, so they don't have sex, mainly because the director thought it was uncouth. But... So I think I understand it. I think that they're sort of saying, I think it kind of works. So they're saying, like, we shouldn't. Oh, but we really want to. Oh, no, let's wait.
It's just interesting, the kind of sexual, the moral sexual logistics in this movie of, like, they don't actually have sex until they're sort of in love.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
But that's in every romantic comedy. In Runaway Bride.
Totally.
They're about to get married before they've.
Yeah.
Even they've did, like, kissed.
They snog. And then, yeah.
It's so Victorian, Edwardian, Georgian, ancient, you know?
Right?
Like, it's, I mean, it's absolutely mad.
But it's almost like it's this sort of weird sort of sexual purity that happens in movies that are sort of about sexuality, which is so such a weird thing of, like...
But they're just two little kids.
They're just two babies, a four-year-old and a five-year-old, that, like, we can't make a whore out of our heroine, essentially.
Oh, yeah,
because possibly, if she were to sleep with him... Based on an article she was writing, it would sort of be her prostituting herself for
and
her
she'd
work.
Lose her power. Although, in Failure to Launch,
does Sarah Jessica Parker sleep with
Sarah Jessica Parker sleeps.
Even though it's for a job?
For a job. So she's being paid by his parents. If no one's seen this film, it sounds absolutely mad, but this is a film that exists. Yeah, she's been paid. So anyway, and that to me is like this huge transgression, because it's like, what are we doing here, guys? I think that the rules of the romantic comedy are very strict and do kind of have to be obeyed. Mm-hmm. Because I do think as well, if that's like a whole power sort of balance thing, because when she leaves, she's like, I'm going to ruin your life. And he's like, I'm going to make you fall in love with me.
Yeah.
they sort of say that from a distance. You don't, they don't actually say it to each other. And I think that that's kind of what this is about. It's like they're two people who both want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a fun, like, all is fair in love and war game.
Yeah.
And I think if they'd had sex, then I do think it would...
It would cheapen it.
It would. Well, it would. It would sort of... I don't know. This, you know, it's so difficult because there is this thing of, like, if a woman has sex with a man, isn't there something like his DNA or this is not scientific, but there is something like there's a physical, it's a, if there's penetration,
mm-hmm.
there's like a physical act there that is, he's been inside you. Like, and it's a big deal. I don't know. I'm such a prude. I've like never, ever had sex
ever.
Never had sex ever. But there is, I don't know. I think that it, I kind of understand that. Like, I don't know.
I get it. It's just interesting. And it's like, it's funny because have you seen that new Jennifer Lawrence movie, No Hard Feelings?
Yeah.
I really liked it. It just reminded me of my youth in a really fun way. And like,
oh,
it was
just so funny.
She's just so funny and so good. Oh, and like, it was just such
gorgeous.
A slight spoiler, but it was like so refreshing to see a female nude scene that was played for laughs.
Yeah.
That wasn't
it's
just
so
like
funny.
A woman crying and brushing her hair while she.
Yeah.
Like, or something. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like being like, I'm fat.
But there's this, yeah, exactly. But there's this like scene, and the premise of that movie is, it's again a very premisey premise of like, she is, it's like a failure to launch thing. Like, she's going to date these rich people's like teenage son in order to like, kind of get him ready for the adult world, essentially.
And it's very much
before he goes to Princeton.
They want her to have sex with him.
Yeah, they're paying for sex or whatever. But it's kind of it's sort of dealt with and dismissed while she's talking to her friends who she works with, of just being like, yeah, like women. The guy's like, you can't have sex with him for money, and she's like, so what? I've had sex for way less good reasons
than
this.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
I loved that. I loved sort of putting a sort of a button on it, of being like, it's just not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think that's the thing about sex work, isn't it? It's like, if this, again, it's this thing where women are made to feel so much shame around it, but actually it's a really legitimate use of our bodies. You know? I think like there is a world if men had that same, if it was a similar thing where like the demand for sex work from men was as high as it is for women, it would not be shameful.
There would be so many famous prostitutes.
Oh my god,
men.
And they'd be making so much
they'd
money.
They'd have TV shows.
Oh,
like,
it would be incredible. And you kind of think, yeah, that's again, it's because you're not comfortable with women behaving like that.
Yeah.
But with this film, though, I do think that the power balance is so crucial to their fight.
Yeah, their fight. And so then the kind of the middle, we're on to the middle section of the movie then, that just is like her torturing him. And I do think it's really well paced.
Yeah.
And it starts with like her being like at the Knicks game, being like, I'm thirsty.
Yeah. Benny, 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 Boo. And then, oh, is it diet? Like, it's so good. It's so good. And just, the kind of thing that, again, you can imagine a woman doing, one of those women that we were talking about, and the guy just being like, yeah, I'll go. And you're like, but she could have just gone. Like, if she's that thirsty, or just, like, ask her to wait. But they're like, oh, no, but I couldn't. You know, I had a friend who had this girlfriend who... He had to clean their flat all the time because she was really anxious about like how tidy the flat was.
Mm-hmm.
But then would also refuse to like. He was like, "Can't we just get a cleaner?" She was like, "No, because I don't want anyone like going through." So these
right.
There were all of these things where he's like, you get to a point in the conversation where it's just like, "No, because she told me I had to do it." You know, and it's like, "Oh, okay, all right." I guess we're not going anywhere further down this road of like communication. And I love that. I love that as like a gateway crazy lady move.
Mm. Yeah. Of all the mad things she's done, which of them are you the most guilty of? If we were to categorize them.
I think that my urge would be the like calling over and over again and leaving the voicemail.
Oh, really?
Like, where are you? Hello, it's me again.
Yeah, just when she calls the meeting and she just goes, it's me.
I love that. Yeah, just wanting plans, like wanting to see them, like what are we doing? But I really reined it in. I remember I had like my first proper boyfriend. I would wait at least 24 hours to text him back, even if it was something that he really needed a reply to immediately. And he was like, he sort of noticed, like, it's always exactly 24 hours. I was like, oh
no, I've been had.
So yeah, that I cannot stand. I remember one of my first big fights with my husband was like, I was like, when am I going to see you next? And he said, I don't know. I've got a really busy week. I was like, well, I need to know because I need to make plans. He was like, well, I don't know yet. And that was just,
Oh, yeah. Like, that would be me as well. That would be a bit of me.
Yeah. I really need, like,
I need to know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
I do think the clinginess probably. I think definitely in the beginning of a relationship, I'm like, well, we're having such a fun night time now. Why don't we just keep rolling this into tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, but then have you ever had the thing where there's someone stay, like a guy stays over and you're like, I just want you to leave.
Yeah.
Have you ever made up excuses and be like, I'm so sorry. I've got to actually go into town to do something. And I've like left the house with them and then just turn around and gone straight back.
I've done the old like leaving them in my house and me just sneaking out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, which is like, only with people I actually knew.
Never
a stranger or anything. Yeah. And this is like very much student days or whatever. I was just being like, me and my friend who I lived with, just like both bring people home that we hated.
I
remember us sneaking out and it was like 9 a.m. and we stayed out until 5 o'clock to make sure they had both left. And we got like breakfast. We got a lasagna. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It was like, do we have any more jobs that we could possibly do?
Because there's make no sure way of they're knowing. Not you there. Can't. Because
no.
Yeah. Imagine if you'd come back and they'd still.
They're
been
still
there.
Waiting.
Oh my god.
And then we were like, you know, what if they're talking?
Oh god, about us. Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah. That I remember one of the first times I sort of stayed at my husband's place for like two nights. Like we did two, and it was just like, this is heaven. Like to be, like,
yeah.
Like, this is like, we're almost living together. And I really just didn't want to leave.
Oh my, yeah. Totally. When, like, I remember the first time, it's my husband, just two married ladies gabbing
just
about their
ladies
husbands.
Talking about our fellas.
Oh, and we met at work and, you know, we were dating for a little while, whatever. And then, like, going home with him on the Friday night. And then when it came to like Saturday, 7 o'clock, I was like, all right, we've watched three movies and had sex 9 times. Like, time for me to go. And he was like, don't go. Okay.
Oh, and you're like, and then, wait. It's like a bonus at night. And you're like, so what are we going to, we could just like get, should we like cook something?
Yeah, the freedom. It's like being on, like, it felt like being on half term and like not remembering you're on half term in school. Of being like, tomorrow is Monday and I don't have to go to school.
Yeah, and we don't have to do the sort of dating stuff. We can just like,
yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Like, we could bake something. Oh my.
When that, like, that bit of the relationship where you're sort of like post dating but pre officially together.
Yeah.
Where you can like do homey domestic stuff, but like in a very cool girl way.
Yeah, yeah, and it's still fun.
Yeah,
and you're still wearing
the
makeup.
Big t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I think. I loved that. I love that phase so much, and I only ever had it with my husband, so he's the only man I've ever lived with.
Aww.
But yeah, that when it became sort of, I remember I started realizing like, I can come and just stay at his house after work and he'd like cook me dinner, and it was,
yeah,
what is this? And it feels like you're playing. It feels like you're,
it
just,
really does,
yeah, pretending. And then yeah, it's so good. It's so good. So yeah, clingy
would be the big one. Just randomly demanding to know what he's thinking about, I'd say, be a big one for me as well. Not during the movie, because I'm a very much a strict non-talker during a movie. And like, I'll always, if I invite somebody over for a film and they start talking, I'll do that thing where I just like lean forward and pause and go, I'm sorry, say again.
What?
Yeah, and like I won't unpause it until I'm sure they're done talking, and they definitely receive it as passive aggression.
Oh, wow.
Which it partially is.
I love that. I'm like that as well, but I live with, again, I'm talking about my husband all the time. I always do this. I live with someone who's like, who's that guy? Where's that guy? Like, who is he? What's his name? And I'll like, no. And I'll just be like, oh. But so he just talks all with, but now we've gone to this thing where I knit while we're watching TV.
Oh,
I've just gone
nice.
To knitting and he plays his slide guitar. And so now it's like all bets are off and we can just do whatever we want.
Oh, okay. But we've found freedom.
Yeah, we've been together for a long time.
How long are you together?
15 years.
Wow, loads.
I mean, I say that feels like long, but there's probably people who... I mean, I imagine there's lots of people who've been together for longer than 15
years. Yeah, my parents,
years.
You know.
Yeah. but yeah. Okay, yeah, so watching, talking during TV. But then, okay, I remember as well, just thinking about what you said about asking what they're thinking. One of my first boyfriends, I was so insecure and I was so in love with him and he was a bit older than me and I like just didn't really know. I could tell I was, you know, when you're like, you could tell that you're losing them. You can tell that they're going off you. And I read in a magazine like Composure, like men love it when you think they're fascinating. And so I just started like saying, that's fascinating.
I mean, that is true.
But I don't think they mean like actually just say, wow,
that's fascinating.
And he was like, it makes me feel weird when you say that. And you know, when you're like, oh God, I'm being creepy. I'm like being, it's, and I can tell that you don't like it, but the more I do this, the more you don't like it and the more I do it, it's like, it's the worst.
Here's an unpopular opinion that I think will make lots of women on Instagram mad at me.
Great.
Including some former colleagues.
I love that.
I think it's okay that women's magazines are dying. I don't think they're good. They're not good to read.
Oh my God, guys.
I don't think they're good.
Do you remember in Grazia? Is Grazia
I actually
exist?
Think Grazia is good because Grazia, they're running a weekly thing. There's some bits from in like fucking, you know, I don't know.
But do you remember
what... Affordable High Street, Marks and Spencer's bits, a couple of news stories, some bits about a Kardashian.
Oh, but the
That's
news
fine.
Stories is so...
But
it's also, I don't
But
really...
I admire the effort.
It's so patronising though. It's like... Do you know what? I read a woman's magazine because I want to know about womanly stuff. I can read. I know what a newspaper is, guys. It's like they're trying to sort of Trojan
Just
horse.
Meet you
like,
where you are.
Hey,
yeah.
guys. Just so you know, there's other things happening in the world other than
and we
shoes,
know about them.
And we really think you should know about this. I don't know. It drives me kind of amazing. Who are they for?
Who is this for? And like, I just feel like we can't keep women's magazines alive just because we like 90s rom-coms.
Well, yeah. And also, yeah, I haven't bought one. I think the last time I bought was like the last time I went on a plane. I'd always buy them at the airport. And I'm always like, what is this trash?
I always think I'm same at the airport. I always think I'm giving myself like a luxurious treat, and then it's
really
just,
expensive.
They're so expensive.
And there's the high fashion ones. Like I love Love Magazine, which I don't think exists anymore. Does it?
Yeah,
but that and I think that's such an amazing like the fashion and the photography and that and the art and that was amazing.
But
it was kind of inaccessible as well. It didn't like. There wasn't enough in it to sort of counterbalance that in a way that would be accessible to someone like me who's not high fashion.
Yeah.
I don't know. It does feel like there's a real gap in the market. Like, I remember this actually pitching this to somebody when I used to work at a magazine.
It is. And I think it probably won't come back, but it's weird that like whenever I pick up like a copy of Esquire or GQ... The writing is good and it's like not condescending and it's about interesting things and like they're good interviews. And it's like you get and also a lot of great like women profile writers like Taffy Brodesser Ackner writing for GQ or some of the best sort of or and like all kinds of magazines that are mainly for men.
Yeah.
Great profiles with lots of budget. And is it, I don't know, is it a money thing? Is it a marketing thing? I don't know what it is, but I just think women's magazines are bad and deserve to die.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think it's about the, I've used this term already, but the architecture around them. It's like, well, if we're going to have a good interview, we've also got to have a dress that a big feature on weddings or something.
Yeah.
And I do think it's very similar to romantic comedies where it's like this misunderstanding of who women are and like what women want and also hating women. And so it's a real difficulty in trying to, in just understanding what women actually want and being like, oh, let's give you a way to do that. And women do it to each other as well. Like we, I don't know. I mean, as a mother, like so much of like the birth stuff and just motherhood in general, it's so pink and perfect and pretty and feminized and like clean and neat. And then motherhood is not like that at all.
Or it's like hempy and
but,
earthy.
But like and, shamed, right. shamed pressure. Like even when it's like, just do a natural birth. It's like, that's a natural birth is actually, and this is going to make women angry at me, this is actually like birth with no pain, like, killer. Like that, and so that's like an insane amount of pain that you're encouraging women to go through, and you're being like, just breathe. It's like, anyway, so I do think like there's a real issue in Western culture of how to deal with the fact that women are complex and messy and bloody and dirty and angry and full of rage, and and that we don't get to make that stuff ourselves. Men make it for us. And so they're sort of saying, but we'd rather you were like this. We'd rather you, we like the, even in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days,
the film horror, we're sensibly here to speak about.
The horror music when he like finds the tampons in the bathroom. You know, it's, this discomfort around like the realities and the complexities of like who women are and what we want. There should be a witch magazine. I'm so into witches. There should be a witchy like magazine or just something that is, amazing profiles with amazing people written by great people. And
I believe it's The Gentlewoman.
Yeah, I did. I do like that, man.
I guess I'm talking more about like the mainstream glossies that we see in these movies. Like The Gentlewoman is never going to have a movie made about it, and it shouldn't.
Yeah, it would be very, very serious. Yeah.
What do you make of all the family stuff?
Bullshit.
Why do they live in New Jersey?
Oh,
why do they, a southern family, live in New Jersey? I feel like that needs at least a button of an explainer.
Yeah, she does have an explainer.
Oh,
it does.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's, again, I know this because they really struggled to find an actor to do to play Benny.
Right.
And then Matthew McConaughey's name came up and they were like, oh, but he's southern, like why is he in New York? And so they were like, well, his dad was in the army. And so there's a bit where she, when they get to his house, she's like, who's this handsome fella? And he's like, that's my dad. He was in the army. He was stationed here about 10 years ago. So that's why.
Oh.
But to me.
Why would you be in the army stationed in New Jersey?
The river, there's the...
Or not? Or Staten Island?
Staten
is it?
Island, yeah. Water.
Water.
Navy.
Navy.
Navy. I don't know. I also.
That's why we have that moment with the dad.
Yeah.
So weird.
It's so weird. I mean, in general, the family aspect, I don't really feel like we need it.
Like, oh, I like it a lot.
Do you?
I really like it. I really feel it as well.
I love that when the mum meets Andy, she's like, oh, you're so much prettier than you sound on the phone or something, because Andy's been phoning his mom and being like, okay, I love you, all right, speak to you later, bye. It's so good. The family stuff though, it feels like that's them just more sort of attempting to flesh out his character by being like, he has a family.
Yeah, and a nephew. How about that?
And a
sister who's a nurse.
And a sister who's a nurse and a farting uncle.
There you go. And he's good at cards.
And his brother-in-law is a policeman.
This is a working class man.
Yeah, but he's not. He doesn't seem working. No, like, he looks, he does not. So money.
No, he looks like he lives on a plantation house.
Yeah, he does. Like, and that he would come to your door and be like, I would like to take you out for the evening, you know? I think, yeah, that's why Ben Affleck. It should be Ben Affleck.
It should be Ben Affleck, yeah. Mm. And his friend, Matt Damon.
Yeah. Both of them.
Both of them at once. That's the new movie. That's how these things get made. But I've that thing of like Andy's hinted to very melancholy backstory. It can only be that Elizabeth Wakefield died.
Elizabeth Wakefield died. Their parents did a murder-suicide.
When she's just like, I love this house. I love the sounds. And
I love the smells.
You really believe everyone she knows is dead.
You really do. It's like, and she's like, when your mum hugged me, it was like a real hug. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Something is going on there.
Something, yeah.
He's like...
And ostensibly, it should be sort of like guilt about the scam that she's doing.
Yes, it should be, oh, I've, you know...
Yeah, I've gone in too deep here. This is too much.
Yeah, I'm a bit freaked out that you're... family being so nice to me.
And... Yeah, but she's sort of 10% over exit, so you're just like, what happened to Andy?
Her sister died.
Her sister died in a motorcycle accident, probably. Yeah, that's how everyone dies in Sweet Valley High.
Those motorbikes. And or drugs.
Drugs,
drinking, and motorbikes.
Yeah.
Any one of those, yeah. But yeah, they do you believe that they would get back together? Oh, and this is the other thing as well.
When the unmasking at the diamond ball.
Yeah, the diamond ball.
Like again, money.
Money, yeah.
Money.
So much money. But yeah, I just don't know if I believe. Because the thing was, when he goes and stops her on the bridge, she's moving to DC to write serious things. Because they'll let her write that there.
Mm-hmm.
But she's only got an interview. She hasn't actually got a job.
Yeah. In general, the stakes are unbelievably low.
Yeah,
because it's like she's writing her like weekly column or whatever. It's like at any point she could go like, and the twist is, I actually fell in love with him.
Yeah.
So here's something. Like, at any point she could just say to her editor, "We're really getting on."
Yes.
And like also his whole thing is like, it's not even to get the account. It's so his boss will let him pitch for the account over the duties.
Yeah.
The two women he's trying to ruin.
Just wants to ruin those women's lives.
Yeah.
But he respects women, so it's
stakes
fine.
Are so low. And then it's almost like the movie realizes they're so low 10 minutes from the end by making them sing Carly Simon at each other.
Yeah. Apparently they were really angry. Apparently they weren't sort of getting on at that point.
Really?
I think they did really get on, but I think there was some like tension and there's like a lot of takes of that where they were like really, really... angry with each other.
It does feel tense.
It does.
It's not my favourite the cast start singing performances of a movie. It doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit, and it's not really a... I mean, yeah, it's...
Also,
it's,
the movie's not about that?
No.
Like, there's definitely an argument for someone to make a romantic comedy inspired by You're So Vain by Carly Simon, and I would go to cinema with me and my 600 best friends to it and restart cinema as an industry.
You're bragging about how many friends.
Great. I have so many friends. We'll restart cinema together. But that's not what the movie's about. But like this kind of runner of You Are So Vain makes no sense.
Well, also, You're So Vain is such a good song.
Yeah, like a famously great song.
Yeah.
And that was my other argument of like when she, in his CD changer, his very turn of the century CD changer, of being like, we have like Jewel, Shania, Fiona, and Carly or whatever. It's like, yeah, they're all great artists.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I think she's just put those CDs in there.
Yeah, I know. But like the implication is supposed to be that she's like femming up his plays.
I see, when actually, yeah, they're legit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really, it doesn't really do anything for me, the Carly Simon thing. And in general as well, the diamond aspect of there being, I didn't feel like there really needed to be diamonds at the gala, other than for like the joke of she's...
Oh, I really like the diamonds at the gala.
Oh, do you? Yeah. What do you like about it?
I just would like to go to a party like that. I think it would be fun.
You are looking like you would wear the Isadora diamond. It was Caroline, you look gorgeous. Yeah, that does nothing for me. I wouldn't even want to go to the party. I don't like going to parties.
Oh, I like a party.
Oh, I love staying at home.
That's I'd be like, I guess.
This is. Can we leave? Yeah.
I do think she does a really good job of being a partner of a person at a work party.
Oh, she does. Yeah,
she really she amuses herself, which is really crucial.
And she also is like, "Oh, you're his boss. Oh, lovely to meet you." Like, I noticed that as well. This time, maybe because I'm a bit older, I was like, that's really good.
It's really good form.
Mm.
Yeah.
And just kind of letting him do his thing.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh, I'll just get a drink.
She's really doing the rounds.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, she's like, she knows what she's doing. But yeah, I still just don't really, I don't know. Like that drama of him reading the article and rushing to stop her just feels so tacked on. I guess it's like how else could they really end it?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one way for these things to end. It has to be a race to the airport.
It has to be a race to the airport.
Anyway, that's the end of the movie, and we're out of time. But do you have anything else to add?
I guess just if you were going to name Matthew McConaughey's penis, what would you name it?
Surf Vet.
Surf Vet.
I just feel like Matthew McConaughey as a person, it's amazing that he's a movie star because he should be on like a Sky One middle of the afternoon drama called Surf Vet where he like heals dolphins.
Yes!
In a wetsuit.
Oh my God! That's it! And he shouldn't be a leading man, yeah. Like romantic comedy lead.
So his penis is called Surf Vet.
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
What would you like to call his penis?
Sports with a Z. Because it seems to be the only thing he cares about.
I would call it sports.
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 Hey, sports.
Hey, sports.
Should we do some sports?
He only cares about... And poker.
But that's a sport.
That's a
in
sport.
In a way.
Yeah, it's a table sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A table sport.
Anyway, Elizabeth Sankey, you are a musician and a documentarian, which is such a cool two things to be.
Yeah, I'm really cool.
To be just one of those things, cool. But to be two of them. Mm. You're like both halves of a romantic comedy where someone's a musician and someone's a documentarian.
Yeah, I haven't seen any documentarians in romantic movies.
Oh, surely.
Film people, maybe.
It feels
really
like one of those. I'm working on my documentary. You're Lisa Todd Wexley.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which of those things would you like our listeners to check out the soonest?
Oh, well, they could watch Romantic Comedy, which is my essay film about romantic comedies, which I haven't watched since I made it in 2019. So it probably isn't any good. It has dated really badly. But
how could it have dated badly?
Well, because I think I was like... I was like, yeah, I love romantic comedies, but they're really problematic. And everyone in them is white. That's bad too. Maybe they should make romantic comedies that don't just feature people exactly like me. And it was like, this is a revolutionary idea, isn't it, guys? And actually it was like, yeah, everyone else has already realised that.
I feel the exact same way about my first book where it's like, maybe old men at work shouldn't have sex with their much younger colleagues because of power dynamics.
Yeah.
And then Me Too happened. Everyone was like, yeah.
I think it's a problem, isn't it? Because especially when you're talking about stuff that is like more political or is like in the zeitgeist. And then, oh yeah, it dates really badly.
When especially when we're living in the information age where like conversations and dynamics within those conversations move on so quickly. And you're like, oh, I was relevant for 10 seconds 5 years ago.
Yeah, like I think about my son watching romantic comedy and him being like, what?
Sorry, did you not know?
Yes. Mom, this is so weird. Stop
I'm sure it's great.
It is great.
It's great. It's great. What about your music? Is that dated?
I mean, I haven't listened to my music ever since, like, for,
go on, back yourself.
No, I've just finished a film that is coming out this year, and it's about witches and it's about motherhood, and I'm really excited about it. And I would like people to look out for that, please.
Thank you. Good one.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.